Here.
And I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Water Wastewater Committee. Can we have roll call, please?
Roll call has been taken and let the record reflect that all members are present, with the exception of General Manager Davies, Project Manager Sadler, and District Water Engineer Schoeller.
Okay. This is the time for public comments. There is no public in the room, so at this point I will close public comments. Motion for approval of minutes. So moved. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Presentations. Who's up for that, Virgil?
Water and wastewater updates.
We have any.
We don't have any.
Okay.
I have an update.
We're still.
You have an update?
I have an update.
Okay.
All right.
It's not on the agenda, so I'll give you the update.
That's fine.
Something is not on the agenda, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have the first five chapters of the O&M manual. Out.
So draft.
Draft. Looks pretty good. So
good.
We have comments from Virgil and Bernie and us. And so that's progressing. So that's the update on.
Good. So that's how they're doing it. They're going to dole it out in pieces so you guys have a chance to review it.
So we can review it and digest it. And then they'll wrap it. Yeah. And then they'll wrap it onto the website. But they want to get all the technical information right first before they put it on.
Just for our benefit, there's a total of, 40 chapters here? So they're...
Well, they're doing the harder work.
A little over 10 days or something.
Pretty thick. The last one I just read today commented on 44 pages. And so I read it and then I make comments or I send it back to you.
When it's all said and done, it'll be that.
I'm thrilled that the process is moving forward. It's well needed. So thank you for that.
Okay.
I'd like to... let's move on. Discussion items. Report on the diffuser.
Okay. This is my item here.
Okay.
You should have in front of you two pages, which is the last two pages of the report. I figured we don't need to go through the whole report.
Okay.
But basically, as you know, the long and short of the diffuser is plugged. And we had Worley Parsons, who's a water engineering firm, who purchased the original designers of the diffuser. So Comex was the original firm to design the diffuser. They were purchased by Worley Parsons and kind of sucked into them. And so we had them evaluate options of what to do with the diffuser. Okay. Four options were put forth. The first option was rip it out and put the same thing back in. That was option one. The second option was rip it out and put in a modified design that maybe is easier to maintain and that has fewer ports. The third option was to abandon the diffuser in place, build a new diffuser right on top of the ground, right on top of it, and use concrete articulated mats to hold it down. And the fourth option was repair and move the 10 and 6 inch sections only, keep the first portion of it. And keep the, I think it's 12 or 16, keep the first portion of it and just put the end on. They all have their pros and cons besides the price. Obviously, option four, we're keeping half of the diffuser in a sense. You know, we're keeping half of it so it still needs cost. But it does require some modeling to verify if the regional board will let us do it, you know, because we're not rebuilding exactly what was there before. there's also risk. If we dig in the river, we have to get an Army Corps permit. You know, if we go digging in the river, we have to get an Army Corps permit. If we change the design significantly, which would be anything but option one, we have to do the river modeling and get our NPDES permit to approve that. And then also, depending on the option, Army Corps is involved and Fish and Wildlife also. So they provide a cost for replacement contractors' costs, and I think it includes some design for Worley Parsons. Does not include permitting costs, like if we have to give the cost of permits and things like that would be in addition to this.
So if we had to redo the study, what we call the flow study, the dilution study, that would be extra on top of that.
They had that cost in there, just to do some different modeling. Yeah, it'd be a portion of that. But stuff like applying for the Army Corps permit, paying the fees for the Army Corps permit, applying for the fishing game permit.
What's the... We're probably going to have to do, regardless of which option,
choose, I have to go through that process.
Yeah, we got some work.
What's the thumbnail sketch of permitting costs?
I think you're probably in the 9,000 and stuff.
And that's included in every one of these options except for option 4, I guess.
No.
Oh, permitting is not included in the
option? Yeah, permitting is not because they don't know. It's hard at a big picture level to know all the permitting costs.
I would think the permitting would be less if you did option 4.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's obvious that depending on which one you do.
Well,
right, but for just discussion purposes for us to kind of, before we get to the board level, we know we've got $75,000
permitting. Right. I think the last time we talked.
Are there engineering costs on top of this also?
They have some design engineering in this, like to do the engineering design with part of this cost. So they try to treat this as a project cost or really parts.
Does it include a project manager? Does it include all these everything included in these prices other than the permitting to get the project completed?
No, this would include Worthy Park. The cost that's presented is Worthy Park is designing it and a contract's building. That's their world for their cost. So outside of that, the district management time would be outside of that, permitting cost.
How much do you see Berwick being involved in this?
I don't, 20,000 or $30,000.
Okay. Right.
I mean, you guys had a budget, I think at the last meeting we talked about 500,000, didn't we, Ethan?
How much?
500,000, when we were cut off the numbers before. I think it's reasonably comfortable under that, clearly, depending on which one of these you're going to exceed 400, you'll be in that ballpark. But I would probably carry the budget of 500,000 at the moment.
Yeah, it looks like it's pretty close. That's going to cover the worst option, or the most expensive option.
The most expensive
option.
Which
may be the best option.
And, the other thing that we put to them is we said, look, like option one, if you build exactly what you have, but what we have lasted, 12, 13 years, and then we have problems with this, right? So we definitely want to improve to some extent on what we have, so we're not back here again fixing this thing again. We need something we can maintain easier. So that's where some of these other options are. Bigger ports, less ports. So even though maybe they're more costly options in the long run, they may definitely be more advantageous. What I think is what we're ultimately going to recommend is we keep the project cost at $500,000. And we pay to have some modeling done in some of these other diffuser options and run them up the pole with the state and say, hey, are you guys going to accept this? And then we can make further decisions. Because right now, it's not even guaranteed they would take a different design. We have to present the engineering evidence to them to take a different design than what we have here. And we're not going to be able to make a case unless we can say, yep, here's the modeling and this is what we say.
They're recommending a new design option 3.
Right.
I don't know if they're going to let us put it. Option 3 puts it on top of the ground, right on top of the old diffuser. So that has the East Army Corps impact. That's why they said, hey, that'll be a slam dunk Army Corps permit. That's the advantage of that. But the disadvantage of that is Fish and Game didn't want it on top of the ground last time. Now, that was 14 years ago. But 14 years ago, they didn't want it on top of the ground. They wanted it buried. We don't know if that's still the case or not. So some of this is we have to.
Well, I don't know. We're going to have to go find out.
Yeah, that's
okay.
So,
this committee to make at this point, we don't even know which one they're going to accept. You're going to have to move forward with some modeling and some inquiries to the state.
Right. So, what my recommendation is we need enough of some preliminary engineering work to then be able to take it to the state agencies and see what we can get, to a certain extent. I don't have a scope for that yet or whatever, but if that's your direction, I would go prepare a scope of work for some preliminary engineering work through Roy Parsons, and then we would take that work and go to the state. One advantage that we do have is Stantec's working on our NPDES permit now. And so part of their scope already is to whatever we decide to do, they'll go take the regional work for the NPDES permit. But we would still have to separately talk to Fish and Game.
I find it interesting that it's more expensive to not remove the old one and abandon and just put one on top of it. That's the most expensive. It's logically doesn't make sense.
Well, you're still buying a new diffuser, but then you have more. They actually have additional modeling. There's additional work involved, and then they have the concrete mats that lay on top and stuff. I didn't go through one of their cost breakdowns.
I just got an anomaly there.
Right.
But let's...
pretty much all your options are around $300,000, except for the one where we keep half of it.
If you're going to model anything, I'm excited to see option 2 and 3 model. I don't know if it works.
I'd like to recommend 4.
Huh?
I'd like to recommend 4, because it's only when you...
Well,
you still have to operate the future
data. Option 1 does not need to be modeled. That's replacing current.
Yeah.
Right. That's replacing current. So that's just, we don't need to do anything.
Right.
It's just, the permitting side of option 1 is...
For 10 to 15 years from now, we're back at it. Who was ever sitting there, got the same problem. We didn't fix the problem.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
And I don't
now, the other thing is and the problem we have right now is our existing diffuser has only got a 6-inch pipe on the end of it. And you just can't get that mud out of that 6-inch pipe. You know, once something breaks off, it gets in there. Now, the one thing that they do recommend is, even if you rebuild option 1, what happened to us is the diffusers broke off.
Right.
So they are saying, even if you redid option 1, they put a metal cage over those diffusers to try and protect them. You know, so they wouldn't just be naked right there with something to hit them. So the downside of metal cage is it means you can hook it. Like if you're fishing or if you've got a boat in here, you actually got something to hook. Good now. So, but that's one of the recommendations, is protecting the metal cage.
So there is some sort of...
Right. So there's some, some slight improvement. Same number of diffusers, same orientation.
If somebody drags their anchor, there should be a mortar that goes up through the bottom of the boat that blows the boat up.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Take care of
it. I have seen people there. I've driven over that bridge.
Did I just see people
anchored there. I mean, they're anchored, right? Even though the sign says no anchoring, I mean, I've seen them fishing right there. And in the wintertime, there's warm water coming out. It's got nutrient in it,
So there's really no decision we are here to make. Kind of an update, though.
It's an update, and then the question is, would you like me to get a proposal to do some preliminary engineering work?
I would agree. We need to have
it. Right.
We need to take the next step so we can get more information so we can make a better decision.
Right. And I will bring that proposal back to us to review before we cooperate.
Right.
But I'll get a proposal to do some preliminary work.
The overall, from my standpoint, the overall end result, whatever it is, we get more life than what we've got.
Right.
So we've got to have a brand new design.
Well, and based on really on the fact that 8 years ago when I got, or 9 years ago when I got on the board, this was a problem. We knew we had busted diffusers 9 years ago.
Yeah, so it didn't last.
So it didn't last 15 years, it lasted less than that.
Exactly. Well, now the point is, it's gotten to the point where it's a bigger problem. I mean,
but still, it failed 10 years ago or 8 years ago. Not.
You know, the design is good, but once those ports break off, mud can get in there, and then we have no way to get it out. It just keeps building up in there. You know?
Okay, you have any other guidance?
I have.
Okay. I have 2.
Update on the water. Right, and on your list there is 2 sheets on the water updates. It's well 4A and well... Newport. Both of them are Newport. One is the well 4A we have, and the other one's a PLC. If you all remember, we went out to bid last year, and we were almost ready to do it, but because of the timing of the work and how much time it was going to take to complete, we decided to hold up and wait, bid it in the summertime, and then award it late fall, so the work would start in the fall when our volumes are down. And or demand it down and then do it down. So this is the timeline. One sheet is for the PLC, the other one's for the well rehab. And when you do well for rehab, we also will be doing the rehab for well number 2, which is right next door here. Okay, this is the update.
Well 4A is located
in Newport.
At the
site, physical site of Newport Water Treatment.
We put that in 22 years ago?
When it wasn't the town. Hoffman was required to put that in because
we built the new plant at that well site.
That's correct.
Okay, that well was already there. But we didn't put that there.
Yeah, it was required because he had sand coming out of one ground here on
Okay, all right.
Perfect.
All right. So this has been in the works with us. We need to start looking at it now, so when we have our low flows in winter, we can do the work.
That's correct. So we physically have to pull the pump and the motor out.
Understood.
And then put another contractor to go into the casing and scrub it, so it'll break anything loose that's there. They'll hopefully get more volume of water coming through the stream.
Do we have any cost? What do we have in the budget for this?
Yeah, I think, I don't remember, but we had the money in there.
We do. We have both.
It's a CIP item.
It's a CIP.
It's in the budget. It's not additional. It's not an emergency.
No. They're both in the budget. They're both in CIP for 18.
What are you looking for here?
No, just giving you an update.
Okay.
This is the timeline.
Let's stay on that timeline.
That we're talking about going out to rebid and that type of thing. Okay?
The Newport PLC is the... is the SCADA system?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Remember, we changed Willow Lake?
Yeah.
And then we were going to the Newport and decided...
That's the one that's located down at the park?
No.
It's at the pump house, too?
Yeah.
What's down at the park? That's a lift station.
It's a lift station.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thank you. Did you have any questions, Bill? Okay. Thanks for the update.
No, you said keep it moving.
Let's keep it moving. Yeah, I agree 100% with that whole scenario. Keep it forming. And then discussion... regarding the wastewater master plan.
Okay. In front of you is a sheet of listing of the engineering companies that we sent the RFP to. We sent 10 of them. Two of them met with us on site. We had asked for a prerequisite meeting on site to talk about it. They both looked like they were going to give us quotes. The others, they questioned us, but they never showed up on site. And then when I get down to the 11th hour of turning in the RFP proposal, one backed out and said because they got too much work came in all of a sudden to them, they wouldn't have the horsepower, the manpower really to help us out on the RFP.
Who were the two?
West Yost and Stantec.
West Yost?
Yep.
Yeah, West Yost and Stantec.
Okay. And Stantec. Who dropped out?
West.
How did I know that was what was going to happen? I didn't know.
That sounded good.
End up with Stantec.
That sounded good, and I really felt that they
were.
We had
long meeting. We had 3-hour meeting.
No.
So the one good news is one of the things is the engineering firms aren't busy. I think the other thing is. The project budget was $200,000, which we told them that's what our CRP budget is. There's a lot of work in there, and Stantec has sort of laid up on a few people on some of that work because they did the previous master plan, whereas people have to regenerate some stuff from scratch.
So we didn't get a quote from anybody at this point?
No, we got a quote from Stantec.
Just
under.
Just under.
That's how you win.
But, the reality is Stantec did not know no one else was submitting. I mean, we told them it was a competitive proposal.
Oh, yeah.
They submitted as a competitive
proposal. I think they gave you that.
We're pretty much wedded to Stantec at this point. Yeah,
sure. Well, the reality is we sent it to every major engineering firm in the Bay
Area. No. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying it is what it is.
Yeah. So,
and if Steven Beck really wants our business to have that, then I'm going to give it to him. I don't know.
They pretty much said everything that we asked for. I didn't actually think they did everything we asked for. I thought it was like, I thought it was like the.
Please, I just want to see. Thank you.
Yeah. I thought we were asking a little bit more than they could choke down for $200,000, but they did it. They did come up with two things that we did not think about. So you should have an 11x17 sheet. The sheet here.
Should there? Yeah.
So, we make them submit their cost proposal separate from their main proposal. And when you select engineering services, you're supposed to select the most qualified off the main proposal and then negotiate price. That's how it goes. So, this is a separate document, that's why it's not part of the proposal. But at any rate, they pretty much gave us everything we wanted. In the report for $196,000. They did identify two optional tasks that may be a benefit after they thought through the whole thing that we didn't bring up, and that was the optional task for eliminating the sludge lagoon and then biosolids disposal options. Personally, for 13 grand, I think it's worth wrapping those two in the plan, but it would be over budget. You know, right now the plan is 200,000. I mean, we have a CIP budget of 200,000.
13 and 94, so there would be 9 grand over.
Right. Now, if we're going to drop and only do one of those, Bernie was thinking about, can we get rid of the sludge lagoon? Maybe. I'm not as confident on that. But biosolids is changing. One of the things that they did bring up is we currently dispose of our biosolids in landfill. We used to dispose of it on the land behind the treatment plant, but we never farmed it, so nitrogen levels just kept rising. The regional board said, go put a monitoring well in and do some stuff because you guys aren't keeping track of your nitrogen. And then we said, well, the cost of that is cheaper to just take it to a landfill. So even though we dry the sludge and we could put it on the land behind us because we never farmed it, you can't dump it. You got to grow it into crops, you know, that kind of stuff. So we go to landfill. However, the state's changing a law about that, and they're going to stop us from going to the landfill shortly. And so, rightly so, we should evaluate what's our best option. And, is it to go back and put a crop in the backyard, or is there, you know, a different disposal method? But I think for sure we would pick up the biosolids option. The lagoon, eliminating the lagoon was Bernie's idea. I think it's going to be very challenging, but we said we'd evaluate. We had put it in, you know, they thought it would be worth putting in after they talked to them about it. If we only added the 5, it'd be closest to the 200,000 versus 9, it'd be like 202 or something like that versus 9 grand over if we want to really hold the budget at exactly 200,000.
And an option might be, if we've done some preliminary work of what we want to grow out there, what could we grow? Because in your sludge has a bunch of salinity, salt, boron. And what crops that take that up? And Gregory's son, when he was doing some work for us, looked into that, and I believe pistachios and cotton were the two products, and something else was in there. So in essence, I think we only have about 40?
Yeah, it's total 40, but because of the hill and
total 70 altogether.
Yeah, it's
we're using about 25.
About 30 back there that's nice and flat and just the whole backyard. But there's other pieces, but depending on how you do it.
And you could obviously, one other thing is you either lease some land nearby. That's one of the nice things, because you've got open space around you. Put it on there, farm it. Or you purchase land, the town purchase land,
or
farm it.
Or, you know, the guys are farming all around us. If you can get one to take
the Are you saying they're going to stop allowing that?
They're going to stop. The state
they're thinking
has
passed
the law. No. They've already passed the law. They've already passed the ISB in 1838. It's already been passed. And Cal Recycle is the one problem I'm getting at. They control all the landfills. And they flat out said organic material is coming out of landfills. So it isn't just biosolids, by the way. It's food waste. There's a whole program where they're stopping food waste in garbage. People have to separate that out to keep it from going to landfills. So it's a greenhouse gas emissions issue unless the organic material gets in the landfill. But that's rules already passed. There's already a schedule for it. So
I get it. It's going to be 100 tomorrow with that global warming thing. Right?
Yeah. So as a minimum, I think I would really strongly recommend at least the biosolids. If we wanted to save money, we could skip the removal of the lagoon.
My option would be to go back to them and say we'd love to do business with you because you know us and all that, and we know that this gives you a leg up of doing it. Put those in and give you 200,000.
Both of them?
Yeah.
All right, I will attempt to do so. This was an open contentment bid. They thought they were bidding against
it. Right, that's okay. This puts it over the top. This gets it in. You don't ask.
So when they say, I will ask. When they say no,
well,
what would you like to do?
They possibly come back with a counter.
All right. Okay. You want me to negotiate? See what I can do.
All right. That one, they're one of many. They're one of five that's in the running. And a couple of board members' wives and the tech had asked if there was some way they could have massaged a little bit to cost a total budget. We like those recommendations.
Right, so if they say yes, then we go straight to contract?
Yeah.
That, or do we go to the board?
Well, we have to go to the board. We've got to go to the board, but
so,
it's our recommendation, the board.
So I'll negotiate as hard as I can, and then we're putting something on the agenda.
Yeah.
Is that the plan?
Yes.
All right, so when do we have that agenda back in so I can get some time frames?
Probably the middle of July.
What I got to negotiate to get on the agenda for this board meeting? Is there one on July 4th?
No.
So July 20th, 18th.
All right, so we got a little
Thursday before.
Thursday. Okay, all right. Yeah, you should be able to get an answer back. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I'm going on vacation Saturday. I don't know if I can answer by Friday, but I'll certainly have it by the first week of July.
That's fine.
That's fine.
So, yeah. Negotiate it the best I can, and then that's what goes on the agenda.
Feel them out. See how they feel about it. See what we get from them. All right. Is that anything else from you, Greg?
No. So yes, their action item is to get on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay. So you have that as a future agenda item, Greg?
July 12th.
July 12th. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. That's to go to the board.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So we won't see it again.
I don't want to see it before.
We don't need to see it.
I think all we need is an update on a bunch of negotiations.
Yeah, prior to it going to the board, send it to the committee.
We're not meeting
for the next one. You can just email.
Oh, okay.
Get it to Mike.
Yeah.
Mike can get it to us as a committee.
Just make sure that the committee gets the report. The two of us get a copy.
We kind of know what the number is.
Yeah.
If we don't agree, then we can pull it from the agenda before it goes, and we can have more discussion.
Okay.
Right. If it goes the way we think it'll go, or that we're happy with, then we don't need to see it. Because we know what we're asking for. At this point, I don't know.
I don't want to show up to board meeting.
And they go, we would recommend this. What is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other future discussion, future agenda items? At this point?
I thought Well 8 was siting was going to be on there. Oh, should have been on the water projects. Anyway, I drew a map up there. Remember we talked about Well 8 siting, where we're going to
go?
Yeah.
And so we're tentatively, I drew up here. This is Pixler Road, Orwood Road out here.
Yep.
Because this is the north end, and we're thinking about building well number 8 out. There's a learning lane.
Yep.
It's for the school.
Yep.
And we have a lift station here. This is the far end lift station that serves mainly the school. That's all that does.
And is it outside of
this is
the
lakes? This is the lakes here.
Yeah, it's right on the outside of the fence.
Okay.
Right over the inside of the canal, from the back side of
the fence. The ball field right here is the school ball field.
Okay. And isn't there a firebreaker right here?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's the last firebreaker right there?
Yeah.
It's right here.
Okay. I was able to get a flush in that one time about a year, about 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And there's a firebreaker right here. Anyway, so one option was to put the well 8 over here. And one of the options might be because you have a 10-inch line that runs this way, okay? And it ends right here.
And it feeds the school.
And so if you weld 8, you would then put a line into here. The idea of weld 8 would be as you filter it, run it through your filters first, then tap it into the main, and then it comes in this way from the north feeding south to everybody else. That's one option. One option number 2 is here. It's a little bigger site behind the school. Maybe you have to put storage tanks here and a filter in case you have to store water in the tank. Or the other option, I mean, it's a better option. And here, one thing you got to think about, whenever you put a well in, you got to discharge that well when you start it up for the first minute or two, and that's thousands of gallons of water. It's got to go somewhere. And so the school has a big storm drain retention right here. So all this water that captured in the rainwater enters here. So your drain could be the here, and it has a pipeline that comes toward the road and it discharges out there on the storm drain. So when you discharge it. The other option I put out here was down here in the lakes. It's in a behind the homes back there, but access in views of the homes are probably going to be taken up by a tank, and we might get some flak from that.
All three of these sites include tanks and filter?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I like this one better, only because it's close to here and it's hidden, and we can get access from the end of Learning Lane to come into here. That's what we're thinking about right now, but not saying that's for sure.
We have to buy the property.
Now, which is kind of unique, good or bad, this is owned by Phil Storr, and Storr is one of the folks who have been in front of it. He may be in the town. He lives here in town.
Is he also developing one of the three sites right here?
Now, here's another thing that's keeping the, you guys around after I retire, is Orwood has a pipeline up here, okay? And if we ever wanted to tap into that water, somehow you tap in and bring it to here, treat it here, then bring it into your pipeline.
Orwood has a pipeline.
East Bay Modern.
You're talking about the Hetch Hetchy pipeline.
No, not Hetchy Hetchy. This is East Bay Modern. Hetchy Hetchy is a different pipeline. This is East Bay Mud, and they pull that out of the Sierras, and it feeds.
That's the big one on the other side from Orwood.
That's big pipes that you see in Orwood.
That's what we. That East Bay Mud uses Hetchy Hetchy water. I grew up on that.
Yeah. Well, they're different than Hetchy Hetchy.
What? San Francisco and East Bay Mud both. Well, I'm not going to argue about it.
But anyway, but there's some big pipelines that you can tap into possibly as another source of water.
If you do it on the bottom, no one will notice.
If you do it on the bottom?
Yeah, just put a plug in the bottom.
Oh, I see. In the middle of the night, you roll a hole.
Yeah, heck yeah. Just self-thread it, go in there, turn the spigot on, and boom, you got water.
All right. Hire a couple of divers?
Anyway,
that's what we're thinking about. We need to work out some pros and cons.
What's the other drawing?
The other drawing, I was just showing the levee with the pipe going through.
All right, anything, any other future agenda items? Hey, what's going on at Cherry Hills and that sewage there? What's the update on? We have a problem with that sewage line over there on Cherry Hills. What about the steakhouse?
It's not a water line.
No, it's a sewer line.
Well, we have a sewer line behind the steakhouse on Wayfair Port.
If we were talking about having to do some modifications to it, we're going to have issues with the driveways.
So we haven't heard from that in a while.
That's correct. Because when we cut out a chunk of it, it wasn't as bad as we initially thought.
So that's on the back burner.
Right.
That's correct. Yes.
Now, I would say that the duct line enforcement from the restaurant to Wayfair Court, which is private, probably needs to be looked at.
But that belongs to
the restaurant.
Well, it belongs to what's his name? Yes.
Now, I don't know if anyone wants to send him a letter.
I think he was.
We haven't notified him yet?
I believe we did.
I think we should follow up with him and see what he's doing about it.
We just need to... Well, there's a huge liability for everybody there. Something happens. Oh. We're going to get caught up in it.
We need to have some official response back from him. So if there is an issue, we...
We did send a letter to him and let him know we had an issue at the front.
Well... Yeah. I would agree with what Bill's saying, but I think we should also offer to help him work his way through that. If he wants some cooperation from us with regards to how to do the inspection, because that's not his baby. Like, he drills on people's teeth. He doesn't do
that. Yeah, so I don't disagree with
that. You know what I'm saying?
You've got to get him.
No, I agree. And by doing that, by being cooperative and saying, hey, we can help you find, we know how to do that, and we can help you do that, but we think it'd be beneficial for both of us to know what the status is of your pipes.
Yeah.
I know you sent a letter. I think he did respond, but I don't remember what was said. So I'll follow up on that
and see where we are with that. That's just talking. Anything else?
All right. So hopefully by the next meeting, we would have an update on a proposal for some preliminary engineering on the future. So I'll try and have that by next month.
Okay. And the next regular meeting is?
Reach out to the property owner and see what.
I plan to reach out to him and get a feel.
Just give a sense of
and I need to chat with Justin.
Okay, I'm going to adjourn the meeting.